Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be always with you. Today is the second Sunday of Easter, and we continue to rejoice together in the good news of Christ's resurrection, praying that we might share the glory and peace and splendour of his risen life. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. God of life, source of all faith, through the waters of baptism you have raised us up in Jesus and given us life that endures forever. Day by day, refine, we pray, our faith, that we who have not seen the Christ may truly confess him as our Lord and God and share the blessedness of those who believe. Grant this through Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God for ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray that we might share the risen glory of Christ. Almighty Father, you have given your only Son to die for our sins and to rise again for our justification. Grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve you in pureness of living and truth, through the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and a great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Alleluia. I am the first and the last, says the Lord, and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Alleluia. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I pray that I may speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure that many of us have tried to make the most of the opportunities to see people again over the last week or so. the lessening of restrictions bringing with it, albeit in a rather limited way, the chance to see family and loved ones from a distance. Whether that's a cup of coffee on the doorstep, a friendly conversation in the garden, wrapping up warm to share some food and fellowship, there is a great desire to see people we care for face to face once again, to share their company and to rejoice in the opportunity to be together. This was certainly how I felt, despite being rather cold and windswept on my grandparents' porch last Sunday afternoon, huddled around a small two-bar heater in an effort to keep warm over a cup of tea and a slice of simnel cake. There is joy to be found, as Scripture often reminds us, in the presence of others. The reality that as human beings created and crafted by God's loving design, it's not good for us to be alone, and that life's journey is sweetened and enriched by our sharing it with others. Such a perspective, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, was shared by the earliest Christian community in Jerusalem, as they began to order their common life in response to the revelation of God's life-giving power in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the light of Easter, the cowering, fearful disciples gathered in the upper room had been transformed into faithful friends of the risen Lord, whose excitement, exuberance, and enthusiasm for the faith was undimmed and unreserved. They recognised that in the shadow of the empty tomb, the world had been turned upside down. God had reframed old certainties with new promises, and knew that in bearing witness to this truth, their lives had to testify to the hopeful truth of what God had done. The knowledge of Jesus' return from the dead, to be seen not simply in words of testimony, passing on the story they'd encountered that first Easter morning, but in how their lives were to be shaped by the potential and promise of resurrection. How they had been commissioned as Christ's friends and followers to declare to others the living reality that their Saviour, Lord and Master was indeed once dead, but was now alive forevermore. We fail to grasp the significance of Easter and its impact on the world if we forget to understand that the evidence for Christ's resurrection wasn't just found in the emptiness of the tomb or in the disciples' accounts of their encounters with the risen Lord, but also it was to be revealed in the hearts and lives that were so dramatically changed. The earliest Christians understood that for others to come to believe and know Jesus as risen, the reality of resurrection was to be written on their hearts, performed in the work of their hands, and made known in how they would model in life together a community of faith. The kingdom Jesus had declared in his life and established by his death and rising again had indeed been given as a foretaste of heaven on earth. And so this had to mean an alternative way of living for the sake of the world. To our modern, Western, rather individualistic, consumerist context, such a description of the practices and choices of the early church perhaps seems both unattainable and rather fanciful. It's good and right for the believers to be described as being of one heart and soul, but perhaps a little more irritating, perplexing, and condemning of our own attitudes to discover that as a result, no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. Yet, as we read on, one of the fruits of this living was the absence of any need. No distinction, no division based on status, wealth or position, no demarcation of the undeserving or deserving. Instead, the gifts of the church were to be distributed based on need rather than perceived entitlement. As one commentator puts it, these followers of Jesus released themselves to one another, making themselves responsible for and accountable to one another. The disciples knew that by trusting in the God who raised Jesus from the dead, they had in fact been joined together. If the old had gone and the new had come, then by the Spirit of the risen Jesus at work in them, they knew that, like it or not, they were all in it together, for the building up of each other and the blessing of those around them. By choosing to order their life together in this way, the earliest Christians modelled to the world an alternative community. The early church, a living example of what happens when private interest and attempts to secure power and influence over and above others was exchanged for a renewed appreciation of corporate flourishing and well-being, where the self-giving nature of the God who did not withhold his Son from the pain of the cross was manifested in a desire to pursue all that brought about a renewing of the common good. Such a commitment to each other, to the world, and all people to work against injustice, oppression, false judgments, and cynical complaining wasn't established by accident. The Christian community didn't grow out of compulsion or coercion through harsh words or manipulation. The faith that proclaimed Jesus as Lord was attractive because it modelled an unconventional but deeply attractive way of understanding and respecting the realities of life. If Christ's resurrection meant that the powers of sin and death were proven to come to naught, then the humanity that Jesus had raised to new life was compelled to find a better way of behaving and belonging together. We recognise that we've glimpsed something of this, or perhaps rediscovered it, in the generosity, sacrifice and kindliness that has emerged in this past year. We've lived through a time that, even though we've been separated from each other, we've been encouraged to remember that we depend on others for so much, bringing with it a timely realisation that we don't need to be trapped in the routines of how things have always been, but can choose a better way in which our God-given dignity and worth isn't just affirmed, but celebrated. As Martin Luther King Jr. preached in 1964, we must learn to live together as brothers, or perish together as fools. The Archbishop of Canterbury preached last Sunday that the Church exists to be Jesus Christ to the world, reminding us that the first Easter commissioned the disciples not with a private hope, but a hope that rightly belongs to all people in every place and time. A hope discovered on that third day, as the Gospel of John reminds us, when after his appearance to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, Jesus came to his fearful disciples and bestowed upon them the gift of his peace. The light of Easter reaches into the pain and muddle and sorrow to kindle new life. The scattered disciples are reunited, Peter's betrayal is reconciled, and Thomas's honest, searching doubts find response as he looks upon the scars of crucifixion and knows the testimony of his friends to be true. The same Jesus who washed the feet of his friends and mandated them to love at his Last Supper now bestows peace and sends them to be his witnesses in the world. A gift and commission which we share, despite feelings of unreadiness and unpreparedness. The call, the same as was heard by those first believers, being of one heart and soul and bound together in belief and action, in order that the good news of Easter might be discerned in and through each of us. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. Lover of souls, source of all goodness and love, accept the prayers of your people and look with compassion upon all who turn to you for help. Creator God, as we move further into the season of spring, when we see life returning in its fullest glory, teach us to contemplate you in the beauty of our world. Help us to realise that all things speak of you to those who would hear. Let us be thankful for every living thing and give us the grace to feel profoundly joined to everything that lives. God of creation, lead us to create a harmonious place in this world and help us to be active in protecting our earth and its inhabitants. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope, this morning and in this situation that surrounds us during the time of pandemic, we use this quiet time to pray for those most in need. We pray for peace in our troubled world. Wherever nations are at war and people are suffering, we pray for true reconciliation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we pray for families whose homes are filled with frustration and anger, where relationships are failing and tensions are heightened by the stresses which accompany the pandemic. May your strong presence be felt by all those who are struggling with difficult relationships. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, we pray for the homeless, as your love for humanity was revealed in Jesus, whose earthly life began in the poverty of a stable and ended in the pain and isolation of the cross. We ask that you draw near and comfort them with your Spirit, and bless those who work to provide them with shelter, food and friendship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Living God, deliver us from a world without justice and a future without compassion. In your mercy, establish justice, and in your justice, restore mercy. Govern the hearts and minds of those in authority, and bring nations divided and torn apart by power struggles, war, poverty, and natural disasters to reconciliation and plenty. At this time, we most sincerely pray for a fair and equitable distribution of the coronavirus vaccine throughout all countries in the world. We humbly ask you for peace within the body of our church, peace among nations, peace in our homes, and peace in our lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, comfort the sick and suffering with your living presence. Heal and strengthen weak bodies, calm anxious minds, and reassure the lonely with your company. In a moment of quiet, we raise before you those we know who are in need of your healing Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we remember before you those who have recently died, and we particularly bring before you the life of Prince Philip. Help us to remember the Easter narrative, that death could not hold Jesus, and that new life for him means new life for all who embrace the message of the resurrection. We remember that Jesus wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, and so we ask that your reassuring presence supports all those who mourn, and especially at this time, the Queen and all the royal family. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hopefulness, you are the source of all goodness, generosity and love. Meet with us in our times of questioning and anger and doubt, and show us what we can do to support one another to overcome fear and anxiety. Help us to trust you without any need for proof. believe in you without any need for evidence, and have faith in you that all will indeed be well, and that all manner of things will indeed be well. And we gather all of these prayers together in the words that our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Unto the Lord's mercy and protection we commit you. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with you. This day, this Easter tide, and always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia.